On page 363 in all the parables of the Bible, I want to read one paragraph again to bring to mind what we're studying about. From now on, the Apocalypse of John received is permeated with impressive parabolic illustrations. They seem to fall thick and fast. Thrones, rainbows, precious stones, lamps, a fire, seas of glass, crowns and of gold and living creatures and seven sealed book is all the descriptions of different horses and all the marshal to illustrate the bliss of the faithful and the damnation of the godless. The sorrows and terrors of the godless, as well as Christ's governmental control of all things, all right is his. As the slain lamb to break the seals of judgment upon a guilty, godless world, those unprotected by his sealing must certainly perish. The seventh seal of silence in Revelation, the eighth chapter, indicates a lull before the storm. The silence before the storm. The silence in heaven will be intense as God's terrible judgments burst forth, and the earth under the trumpets and the vials. The earth under the trumpets and the vials. Let's go to Revelation, the sixth chapter. Revelation chapter 6. Now, we don't live in this time. But this time is coming upon this world. We live in the preludes to this edition of history, to this chapter in history. We live in the preface to this here in the church age. This is going to be right here after the rapture. Right here after all hell breaks loose on earth. And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living beings saying as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked and behold a white horse, a Lucas Hippos. A white horse, and he sat upon it, had a bowl, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. This is not the white horse in Revelation, the 19th chapter. The second seal and war. The war upon the world. The war has already been declared, people. The war is declared already. And when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another red horse went out, and to him sat upon it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. All of this symbolic, parabolic language now. And the third seal. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature, the third living being, saying, "Come." I looked and behold a black horse, and he had sat upon it, had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not touch, you're not allowed to touch the oil and the wine." Verse number 7. And when he broke forth the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the four living beings say, "Come." And I looked and behold an ashen horse. An ashen horse. A green horse, chloros. A green horse. The color of a dead man's body. A greenish black horse. And he sat upon it, had the name of death and of Hades, and was following with him. And authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth, to kill with a sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth, by trained killing animals. Germ warfare. types of warfare. Chemical warfare. This is happening all over the world, all over the Middle East right now, that is. And when I, verse 9, and when he broke forth the fifth seal, I saw underneath it the altar, the souls of those that had been slain because of the word of God, because of the testimony of which they had maintained. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, how long, O Lord, Holy One, true, will they refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? And there was given to them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed as they had been should be completed also. This is a horrible time. This is a horrible time that's going to come upon the earth. We have a war that's already been declared upon us by the participants of this book. It's already been declared. Right now it's subtle. We are as the allies in America and the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world. As in World War I, did not choose to be participants in that war, but we had to protect a free society and democracy in the world. We had to. We had a tyranny breaking loose upon the earth at that time. The tyranny that we're going to talk about today was already there. It had already been broken forth upon the earth for 1,000 years. 1,300 years, actually. We as allies in World War II did not choose to meet in combat with the Nazi devil trying to devour the world, or the Empire of Japan that attacked us and declared war upon us. Japan attacked us in Pearl Harbor. The very next day, Hitler and Mussolini declared war on us. We were in a war that we did not choose. We are in a war today that's been declared upon us. As a nation, as a people, as individuals, wherever a Christian goes in the world, this war, you're going to face this war today. We're in a war which we are reluctant combatants. In a war that Islam and Muhammad have declared on us. We have a book in the world that's called the Holy Quran, the Sunnahs and the Hadiths, that were written by a man, in 600 AD. The first part of that book, Muhammad was trying to be a prophet of God, and he spoke a lot of peaceful verses. There is no compulsion in religion and all of this, so and so and so forth. He failed as a prophet of God, ever had very few followers. Began to watch and see what Catholicism had done and how they have spread all over the world by the sword. He moved to Mecca, and the first thing he did was declare war on his own family, the Quraysh, his own tribe. He began to support his religion and the furtherance of religion by rape, pillage, and robbing, and murder on his own family. They finally came after him, and he had quite a few wars with them. As he became stronger and stronger with booty and kidnapping, ransom. He finally went in after several years and had made a treaty with the Meccans. And he took over and displaced all of those people. Meantime, his fortunes were enhanced by murdering all of the Jewish tribes and displacing all of them and taking all of their property in Mecca or in Medina. His Meccan verses were much more peaceful than his Medina verses. Before Muhammad died, he said, I want you to go out and find the kafirs, the infidels, wherever they are. I want you to lay in wait for them. I want you to kill them. And I want you to subjugate the whole world, because the world cannot stand but one religion, and that is the religion of Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. The war has been declared on us, people. The Islamic Empire was the last empire to rule the Middle East. The book of Revelation talks about seven empires. The fifth empire was the Roman Empire. The sixth empire to rule the Palestine was the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire dissolved in the 1920s, but it has been on the rise ever since. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million Christians as they conquered to conquer. And the Protestant Reformation clipped the Catholic Church's wings. They are not as deadly in the world today as they were in 1500 and 1600 AD. But Islam is more deadly today than it ever was in the history of mankind. After Muhammad conquered his own people, the first thing he did was to go out and begin to conquer Christians. He fought his way, or Islam fought its way, all the way into Europe. For 300 years, they ruled in Europe. They were pushed back and forth. Christendom fought against Islam. And God's got a plan. God's got a plan, and He unfolds that plan, beginning in the sixth chapter of Revelation. And this monster, this beast, that we're going to see, is Islam. As far as I can tell, it is Islam that's going to be the power to be. It's going to be the Babylon the Great. Babylon's really Babylon. Everybody over there in the Middle East, not New York City, not Rome, is Babylon. And the tenants of Babylon. Now, Neville Chamberlain, at the beginning of World War II, kept trying to appease and make peace with that monster Hitler. Now, I want to give you a little political science here. Russia was on the rise. Russia and Germany were going together for a while. Russia was going to conquer the world with communism. Germany was going to take over the world with capitalism. Germany wanted to bring in a 1,000-year reign under Germany. The world had fought them in World War I. Now the world was going to have to fight them again in World War II. Winston Churchill kept telling them right after World War I what was going to happen in the future. He knew that Russia was really not his ally, that he couldn't depend upon them. He said one time that Russia was like a crocodile. You couldn't tell whether it was smiling with its mouth open or was going to eat you. He made a reluctant ally with them. Franklin Roosevelt stood back, stood back, and stood back. The world thought that if Germany went into Russia, when it began to attack Russia, they thought Russia wouldn't last 6 weeks. The war would be over. But Hitler ran into that Russian winter, and he ran out of gas. Petrol. Fuel. Almost every nation in Europe had volunteers from all of these nations into Hitler's army because they were afraid of Russia and communism. Latvia was a last forces. They were from Holland, everywhere. They had Spain, the Netherlands, Finland. All of these nations had given volunteers. People had volunteered from those nations into Hitler's SS troop, his SS Waffen, his foreign legion, because they knew that they were going to have to fight Russia. Russia was there. Russia wasn't going to stop. Neville Chamberlain kept on trying to appease Hitler. The only way Hitler would have ever been appeased if that swastika would have been over Windsor Castle and over the Parliament of Great Britain. Winston Churchill kept telling them over and over again. When Neville Chamberlain stepped down Lord Halifax, they tried to wrangle and become prime minister. When the King of England first appointed Winston Churchill as prime minister, he didn't have any faith in him at all, but that's what the people wanted. So he appointed him. And every meeting was like pulling teeth. He was afraid of him, afraid of what he's going to do. His first speech he made, he declared war on Germany. Full force, that they would fight him in land and air, in the streets, in the seas, wherever needed to be. But only one thing, only one hope would be victory. Victory. Victory are the dark ages. People in the world today, we have a religion that's bringing the dark ages upon the world. Every civilized nation in the world has abandoned slavery except for Islam. Islam is a nation. It's not a religion. It is a nation. It is a political force with a religion. And they believe in slavery. They believe in enslavement. They believe in booty. And that's how they have supported that system for 1,400 years. And war has been declared upon us as nations, wherever we are, wherever this word is, these words are gone. That horse in Revelation, I believe that to be Islam. Muhammad said, deceit is war. War is deceit. In World War II, America had a ghost army. America had a ghost army. A ghost army was deception. They went into Germany, and they had people in this platoon, in this regiment, that would make blown up tanks, balloons, tanks and cannons that were fake. And then they recorded great movements of engines and machinery and record that and play it back in loudspeakers. It was a form of deception. Eisenhower was part of this. And they won battles without fighting battles. because the enemy thought those great forces were there, and they'd run and go into another force. They had sitting over there ready to intercept them. Great Britain, under Prime Minister Winston Churchill, decoded the German codes. They got information that said that they were going to bomb certain cities, and they had to sit there like they didn't know it and let those cities be bombed. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. War is deception, and that's what we're under right till today. Islam is not a piece of religion. Islam means surrender. I believe that religion ought to be reciprocal. Islam come in here, we take all these immigrants in here in America, and by the way, Islam has a fifth column. They're called settlers. I've known people that were settlers. They came in to establish mosques in a certain area and declare that as holy ground, and then take over politically, religiously, take over. And then we have no-go zones. Ask France and Great Britain what's happened there. Ask Holland, Denmark. The grandson of De Gaulle. We see all of these atrocities under the name of a religion, a peaceful religion. When they said they flushed the Quran down the toilet, which didn't happen, they killed people and burned churches all over. When they had that cartoon about Muhammad, they had riots all over the world. When they burned Qurans, supposedly, they killed people. You can go out and you can take 1,000 Bibles and set them on fire and have a bonfire. And no Christian's going to come and cut your throat over that. I have a lot of Qurans. I don't burn them. I read them. The best way to know a religion is read the book that supports that religion. You read that book, you realize it's not a peaceful book. You read the Hadith and the Sunnahs. You read the Traveler's Guide. You're going to find out something. We're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a war that we did not declare. Now, Neville Chamberlain just kept on denying that Hitler was as bad as he was. Many of our politicians tell us that Islam is a peaceful religion. George Bush did. Bill Clinton did. It's a religion of peace. Barack Obama told us it was a religion of peace. And yet we're in a war all over the world. My son was over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. My stepson was injured, disabled. Finally had to resign from being a sergeant. And he was in munitions. He was an armorer, a gunsmith. We have to realize we're in a war and deal with things as such. How long will we be on this earth before Jesus comes back? We don't know. But we're in a war. The sixth chapter of the book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen in that war. When finally, after the rapture takes place and the church is out of the way and all the saved are gone, hell's going to break loose on earth. Hell on earth. Now, nearly every war in history of mankind has been a religious war. Communism is a religion. Nazism is a religion. Even capitalism is a religion. Buddhism is a religion. In every place where these are, they're ruled by this. You see that? Islam is a war of deception and manipulation of the masses. The Catholic Church believed in church and state. Islam doesn't know anything else but church and state. Even America, when it was the first founded, it was a church, state, or church colony individuals until Rhode Island came along. Dr. John Clark and Roger Williams went and petitioned for the King of England to allow them to have a colony of religious liberty. It worked. After the United States was founded, they finally come up with a Bill of Rights, which gave us the freedom of religion, which turned the cults loose on America. It's turned Islam loose on America too. Personally, I do not believe that any nation in this world will not allow Christianity there openly. When they come to this country, they should not be allowed to do that either. In no country in the world where Islam and Sharia law is, can you as a Christian pray in public or public meet in churches. If you go over there as a missionary, which some of my students have, you can't openly tell anybody about Jesus. If somebody is converted, it's a death sentence. And yet they want that right here in this country. They want that right here. And they won't give it the world or rights to any place else in the world. And wherever they have settled, there is controversy and war and sedition. Islam, wherever they are, they claim to be victims of Western civilization. They claim to be victims. That there's prejudice against them. I believe in freedom of religion any place and anywhere. But I believe that a nation with a constitution, that you ought to abide by that constitution or you ought to go away. Islam will not abide by any constitution in any nation where they go. They want to be under Sharia law. And in America, we are Sharia compliant. In too many places. Is there slavery in America? We had a civil war over that. Yes, there are. For years, Mormons were prosecuted and arrested for being polygamists. But under Sharia law, every Muslim man has a right to have 4 legal Muslim wives and all the concubines, all the sex slaves that he can support or afford. And they want to be under Sharia law. Not too long ago, one proponent of Islam said that they wanted the flag of Islam to fly over the White House. They were being honest. They say every constitution is corrupt because it's made of man. Only Sharia law is by Allah, the great God of heaven. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect government, freedom of religion, democracy. We have to be careful in this pre-rapture society that we live in. Because the beast has been turned upon us. The beast has been turned upon us. We need to be armed. In society, a democracy is an intellectual reasoning society. Now we need to be educated in what Islam wants in the world and how they want the world to be. in every nation where they exist. We need to understand that as a people, as nations. We need to arm every man, woman, and child. In war, World War II, every man, woman, and child was armed. It had to be. We need to arm every man, woman, and child with the truth. Maybe you can convert a Muslim in your neighborhood. In the Bakersfield area down there where we used to live, there were Muslim neighborhoods. You see three or four Muslim wives falling down there with their kids, taking walks every day. You see them in the grocery stores with food stamps. One man standing by and four or five different women going from check stand to check stand. They've got their food stamps. We're not only allowing it, we're supporting it. And the Muslim propaganda machine is to go into a nation. And you know, in America, we have about like 1.2 or 1.8 children per family. They're having 20 and 30 children per family. Gods. And they have one legal wife and three sisters. You go into the dark back country of Utah. You go into that dark back country, Utah, where the polygamists live. And you go out there and you find one polygamous Mormon man. And he'll marry one wife, and then he'll have a whole lot of other concubines. And these are unwed mothers. And one of the red flags that the authorities there look for is a man with 10 wives. Now, they get food stamps and things, and all of these 10 wives, the man will go around and collect the money from all the wives, and they have food stamps and stuff to live on. And I had a friend that lives over there among them, and he said, every one of these things, you'll have a mobile home, and you'll have 5 acres or 10 acres here and a bunch of mobile homes around with trampolines around there. Keep the kids busy. That man is having as many children as he can have because that's more paycheck. That's wrong. And so is this wrong. Because society supports the leeches of society. It has been said that Islam doesn't have a work ethic wherever they go. They've lived off of plunder or off the state. We need to be aware of these things. We need to be aware of the war that's been declared upon us. This is previews of coming attractions, people. When that church and those saved people are taken out of the way, hell's going to be breaking loose on this earth. And that monster is going to come out with teeth. Teeth. As we did in Revelation, the 6th chapter. Islam has an eschatology. They supposedly have 10 signs in Islamic eschatology. And they say the sun is going to rise in the west. There's going to be great smoke. And there's going to be a Dajjal, a false messiah, come forth. And they say out of Syria will come forth the Mahdi, a descendant of Muhammad through one of his daughters, Fatima. And he will be the reincarnation of Muhammad himself. He will be a reluctant prophet and a reluctant ruler, and he'll be 40 years old when he begins to rule. And people will swear allegiance to him. And then out of Arabia will come forth a beast. this beast will appear. He's going to have the staff of Moses and the seal of Solomon. And he's going to go out and mark all of the unbelievers, and then he's going to mark the believers of Islam with the mark of the beast. Those that believe in Muhammad, there is no God but Allah. He has no companion. And Muhammad is his apostle or messenger. The beast is a weird-looking thing. By the way, the Dajjal will have one eye, supposedly. The Antichrist. But this beast is going to have the head of the bull, the eyes of a pig, the ears of an elephant, the horns of a stag, the neck of an ostrich, the chest of a lion, the color of a tiger, the haunches like a cat, a tail like a ram, legs like a camel, and between his joints on his legs will be 20 feet. And they say a beast like this used to tell Solomon what to do. He spoke from the earth. This beast is going to be the companion of the Mahdi. The Bible, the book of Revelation, which we're going to study, is going to have a beast, it's going to have an Antichrist, and it's going to have a false prophet. Everything in the Bible that is holy in the Quran is unholy. Everything in the Bible that is bad in Islam is holy. The beast in Islam that everybody, all this Islamic people want the mark of the beast. In the Bible, and if you take the mark of the beast, you're doomed to hell forevermore. There is a false prophet in Islam. It's called Isa. That's Jesus. The Mahdi will go out, and the first thing they're going to do is make a covenant with Israel. The Mahdi is going to reign for 7 years. The Bible said the Antichrist will reign for 7 years. And he will make a covenant with the Jews, and they will build a temple in Jerusalem for the Jews. The Islamic eschatology says something's going to happen in Arabia. They're going to take, from Mecca, they're going to take the Kaaba stone, which they worship really, the right hand of Allah. They're going to bring it and put it in the temple in Jerusalem. And after 3.5 years of that covenant, the Antichrist will stand in the temple in Jerusalem and swear that he is God, the incarnation of God. The Mahdi will declare himself to be the descendant of Muhammad. And Muhammad borrowed all of the divine titles of Jesus. We're going to look at this as we read every chapter in the book of Revelation. The Mahdi is going to go out and he's going to start. People will swear, nations will swear allegiance to him. He will go out and conquer, and the first people he's going to kill is all the pigs. He's going to kill all the swine in the world. He's going to kill all the Jews. Then he's going to turn on the Christians. Isa, the false Jesus, that's born of a virgin, according to them, is going to come out. And he's going to swear allegiance with the Mahdi and the beast. And they're going to bring in Islam. They're going to bring peace to the world. Peace means surrender. They're going to try to subjugate the whole world under Islam. The next message is coming attractions. Our Heavenly Father will send this message out tonight. Father, I pray that you have people to arm themselves with your truths and with your word and what they know. That they'll be able to protect themselves and their societies and their towns and their states from this attack, from this war. Help us to stand for you. Help us to glorify you with all the things we did. Help us to try to be missionaries wherever we go. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.